I'm going to read from Psalm 121 for a short opening. Psalm 121. Psalm 121 says, it's a song of ascents. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Now, verse 1 is something a little different. I will lift up my, listen to the way I read it. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? Now, Pastor Jeremy reads from the King James Bible. And in the King James Bible, it reads like this, verse 1. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. It's a statement. But in the New King James Version, which I read out of, it is, I will lift up my eyes to the hills, dash, from whence comes my help, question mark. Now, there's been a bit of controversy over the years regarding this verse. Later Bible scholars and translators thought they detected a hint of pagan heresy in the way the King James Bible stated that. Because the reason was that the help came from the hills rather than from the Lord. Because if you look at Jeremiah 3:23, it says, truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. So then later Bibles, like the New King James and other ones, split the verse up and made the second part into a question. Well, I think the King James Version is correct. Jerusalem is built on a hill, and it's surrounded by hills. The temple was built on a built-up area on the top of the Jerusalem hill. The temple was the dwelling place of God, and the glory cloud in the Holy of Holies signified the Lord's presence with his people. So when a Jew in other parts of Israel needed divine help, he looked to the hills. To him, this was the same as looking to the Lord. Since God's dwelling place was in the Jerusalem hills, there is a symbolic sense in which all help does come from the hills. So in the end, you can read it that way, or you can read it like this Bible says. I don't know if it makes a great deal of difference, but I found that very interesting. Verses 3 and 4 says, he will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The foot here represents where we stand, or our foundation. We believers stand on the rock, which is Jesus. Because in Matthew 16, verse 18, Jesus said, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And the assurance of that is that God does not slumber or sleep. When armies go to battle, they take turns keeping watch through the night. But in our spiritual battle against the enemy, God keeps watch over us 24/7. Not only does God not sleep, he doesn't even slumber or nap. God never rests from keeping watch and care of us, his children. 1 Samuel 2, verse 9 says, he will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked shall be silent in darkness. Verses 5 and 6. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Here's another guarantee that God is our protector. The Lord himself, the great sovereign of the universe, personally protects and guards the most obscure of us. All who belong to him, he is personally interested in and loves as only he can. And the reference to the sun and moon further illustrates God's care for us 24 hours a day. Some Bible scholars say that this refers to demon possession and the occult. The sun and moon are symbols used by the realm of spiritism and the occult. So the Lord protects us even from that darkness. Isaiah 49, verse 10 says, "They shall neither hunger nor thirst, neither heat nor sun shall strike them, for he who has mercy on them will lead them, even by the springs of water he will guide them." Verses 7 and 8. "The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore." Yes, the Lord preserves us from all evil. It is a fact that nothing comes into the believer's life apart from God's permissive will. None of it is random or by chance. And God even allows trouble to come into our lives so that he can mold and shape us into the people he wants us to be. He is refining us when trouble comes, and it does come. It comes to everyone. It says he shall preserve your soul. Satan can't touch that part when it belongs to God. When we have given our heart and our life to Jesus, Satan can't touch our soul. God has us in his care through this life and all the way to eternity. How can we be sure of that? How can we believe that for sure? Well, we can believe that because God purchased us with his own blood. That was the price Jesus paid for our forgiveness. Jesus suffered, bled, and died on the cross of Calvary to pay for our sins. Jesus paid the price he did not owe for a debt that we could not pay. After he died to pay the penalty of our sins, he rose again and has defeated sin, death, and Satan, and Jesus lives forever. And he promises to do the same for us if we receive this gift from him. I have a saying in our household: every time Irene picks up something heavy, I tell her, "All you had to do was ask." Well, it's the same with Jesus. All we have to do is ask. When we come to Jesus with a broken spirit and a repentant heart, he freely forgives us of all our sins and gives us of his Holy Spirit as our helper and guide. The Holy Spirit is the guarantee of our salvation. And because of what Jesus has done for us, namely the forgiveness of our sins, the assurance of salvation and eternal life, God will surely take care of us in all of our life. And then we can claim all of the promises of Psalm 121. Romans 8, verse 28, and it's a good one, and we all know it. When we hear it, we'll know it. Romans 8, 28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose."